Blog Talk Radio.
Sometimes you have to be victory. Jury.
speak over yourself and encourage yourself. Sometimes you don't have nobody to pat you on the back. You have nobody to say, good job or well done. Sometimes you have to encourage yourself, speak life over yourself. If you listen carefully, you will hear that the Holy Spirit is always speaking. Well, hello, hello, hello. It is the first Sunday, June 3rd. I am your host, Sanctified, and with a shout. And Pastor D. Townsend, and welcome to the Jubilee Affair, brought to you by the Hub Online Network. This is God's show for God's people. As always, I am joined by the good brother, Hakim Nuba.
Hey, hey, how you doing today, sir?
Oh, man, I can't complain, doctor. Can't complain. It's a blessing to be here, blessing to hear your voice. It's a blessing that God is restoring, and God is healing, and God is blessing.
Okay, okay. Ready to have a good conversation tonight?
Oh, yeah. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I am more than any doctor. If you need prayer, you can contact us on the Facebook page. You can also tweet the HubNet on network, but the quickest way is to call the show 7. Again, that is 646-787-1798. I always like Father God, thank you right now for what you're doing and what you're going to do. I pray that this will open some minds and some hearts. We need a good word from you today. Use us in a mighty way. We love you, Father. We thank you. Let your healing spirit go forth. Let somebody be delivered on this night. Again, Father, I thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. For just a second, I have a scripture that I want to read to you. It's just two sentences, and it will tie in everything that we're going to talk about today. The scripture comes out of John chapter 13, verse 34, and it reads, "A new commandment I give you is to love one another. Love one another as I have loved you. So please, love one another." May God continue to bless the reading of his holy word. This week's episode is a little different. If you the title that we have for this, me and Brother Hakim and a few other people have had a big discussion about something that's going on in our world. And I think it's time that we discuss it. The greatest threat. You may say the greatest threat could be guns, violence. But the greatest threat to our world is hate. Hate. That is a word that is dirty. It promotes violence, ignorance, hate. Is what we see going on it's time that we discuss this that in our room. It seems as if hate has infiltrated our society on a massive level. And since we are a network, I have asked some of the hosts from the dip if we could come together on the Jubilee Affair and have an open discussion. We have to do to stand up against the hate. You see, the only way, the only thing necessary for even hatred frames it for the good people to. So it's time that we start to do something. It starts right now. Before we start, let me give just a little thought on the subject. I am a lover of people. And it hurts my heart when I see hatred going before love. Of our children. And murder. Government officials lashing out media, talking and acting like children. We have celebrities fun of people with their skin color and thinking that it's okay, and causing hatred and to fester. And we have a lot of racial injustice. Our young being killed in the street like streets like animals. This stop. Now I want you to understand one thing: hate is a black thing. Hate is not a white thing. But for us, hate is a Christian thing. Hate has no age, no race or creed. It's everyone. Problems for society, for community, for the church. It seems like it's easier for people to hate. Why is that? I just wanted to add my little 2 cents in. At this time, I would like to give the floor to the good brother Hakim Nuba so that he can introduce our guest for this evening. Brother Hakim?
Yes, sir. First, I would like to, I believe someone just dropped off. I thought we had Pastor Maurice ready to go. Any of our guests who wants to speak up tonight, please hit the number one so I can see who you are and I can put you through. All right, here comes the first person.
All right.
This is Deacon Maurice.
Hey, Deacon Maurice.
I had to get my other phone. My cell phone was acting up.
Okay.
Yep.
Amen. Well, welcome. Welcome to the Jubilee Fair, Brother Deacon, and it's always good to have you. Always good to have you, sir. I know we were talking a little while ago, and you had some stuff that you wanted to, some information you wanted to discuss.
You said it again.
Pastor Townsend, your phone
yes,
is breaking up a little bit here.
Okay. Is it better?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. No, what I was saying was, Deacon, is that I'm giving you an opportunity to go ahead and speak on this topic, what we were talking about as far as the big threat. And I know you had a few others to speak on, so I'll give you the floor, and the floor is yours to speak, sir.
Just talking about this, what they talked with Roseanne.
Okay. What do you think about that? What do you think? What hurt you about that?
I believe that tweet, what she said about whatever, with that tweet, I was trying to go to it, I had it. But I got one right here. What it says with John Goodman is not holding back his anger about the shocking Roseanne cancellation photos taken of him on May 29th, according to a professional body expert.
Okay.
Say it again.
Well, I think that Roseanne was actually just being herself. We all know Roseanne to be a comedian, but I believe that Roseanne really had a hatred of this person and thought that because she's a lover of Trump and she see how Trump acts that she could do the same thing. And it caused her to lose. But look at all the people who lost jobs in the midst of this. That's the sad part. We know that Roseanne herself never really has something in her life. And the cast members, none of them really have to. But just imagine all the ones who were out there trying to work and to make the show the best they possibly could. Some of them, imagine those who lost their income because of this foolish tweet that she put out. I just think it's just sad. I really do, and just to think that Roseanne, being that she's a seasoned comedian, should also know that there is a time and a place when you should and should not say something because of all the. Now, this was not the place for her to start that kind of stuff. What are your thoughts on that, brothers?
Are you talking to T.K. Maurice?
You just talking to me or Hakeem?
Either brother Hakeem or brother.
I think your phone is going in and out, Pastor Townsend. We hear every couple words.
Okay, let me move over here then.
Okay.
Deacon
Maurice, did you want to? Yeah, we can get loud and clear. Did you want to take a shot at that, Deacon Maurice?
Say it again.
Did you want to take a shot at that?
I couldn't hardly hear what he was saying because he was breaking up.
Okay. Could you repeat that for us, Pastor?
Well, first I was just saying that I thought it was a shame and a disgrace at the fact that she would even attempt to make a tweet like that. I believe that there is a time and place where everything was, in fact, the wrong time, place for her to make and it just showed her lack of character by making that tweet. And I just feel like, you know, sometimes in this situation, that it was absolutely needed for her show to be canceled, for her to understand that you can't just say anything that you want at any given time. You guys, thoughts on that?
Well, I completely agree with you. My thing is with Roseanne, she has had a history of this kind of behavior. The thing that struck me the most when ABC, gave her this show. They gave her this show knowing that she has had a history of slanders against Native Americans, slanders against Muslims, slanders against anyone who didn't agree with her political school of thought. And she's always on attack mode. She was Donald Trump before we realized Donald Trump was Donald Trump. You know, so now, you know, we see this false patriotism even through the show. You know, their vision, her the methodology of being Trump supporters because their vision of America. And that character that's on the show was a toned down version of her in real life, because she agrees pretty much with everything in lockstep with Trump. I mean, but for her to be, she's always had this fake patriotism thing going on. Even you go far as back as at the baseball game where she completely butchered the Star Spangled Banner. So, and she took it as a joke, and she had no, I mean, she was criticized heavily, but she didn't care. And she gave this fake apology. Then she went back on her apology less than 24 hours later. She went back. She went from apologizing about Valerie Jarrett, calling her a baby product of the Muslim Brotherhood and the Planet of the Apes, to the very next day, after realizing her apology was fake, it didn't work, she went back to posting pictures of Valerie Jarrett and the Planet of the Apes. So, yeah, it's sad that a lot of people are losing their jobs. There's a lot of talks about bringing all those people back to work except Roseanne, and they're trying to figure out how to get it done, and I hope they do.
But what about when she accused Michelle Obama for her show being canceled?
Obama for her show being canceled?
She accused Michelle Obama. It says Roseanne continued to retweet a series. It says Roseanne accuses Michelle Obama of being the real reason for her ABC show getting canceled.
Instead of looking in the mirror at your own dirty reflection and trying to clean your mirror off, you want to continually to put it off on somebody else. You see, that's the number one rule in hate, the blaming on somebody else. It's somebody else's fault why things are happening the way. And, you know, speaking from a spiritual standpoint, God is not pleased with all of this. God is not pleased with the hate that's going on in this world. I preached a sermon a couple of weeks ago, and it was entitled, Hate goes forth. That means nobody is thinking about him. And when you don't think about God, let me tell you what happens. When you remove God out of an equation, you remove God out, then now what you have a recipe for salvation, you have a recipe for damnation. And when you remove God out of a situation, you better watch out. Because when God becomes vengeful, when God becomes wrathful, when God, you know what, no longer, I don't see you. I see you as an enemy because you have only dealt out hate to other people. When you did, you really better watch out. And I'm here to let you know that God is not pleased with the way that things are going on in this world. School shootings that happen. God is not pleased. The question is, why are children? Why is Satan attacking children? If he kills off the future, then what's left? Nothing. I'm just amazed. And how this hate is just going far. And the world acts as if it's nothing.
Pastor, I don't know if you can't tell if you're still talking, but your phone is breaking up, and we can't really hear you.
Okay, is that better?
There we go.
Okay. Yeah, it's just, you know, I don't understand this hate. You know, in the schools and people think that it's okay for this hate to go forth, and I'm just. It just bothers me. It bothers me because this is not what God has for his people. God is a God of love.
We have Sister Michelle on the line. I want to put her through.
Welcome to the Jubilee Affair.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Well, first of all, I'm glad that you brought this, Pastor, to this format to your show this Sunday. I have been waiting, as usual, to hear the word, and this topic is something that need to be discussed. So, this format, first of all, I thank you for bringing this format to my network to discuss it.
Yes, ma'am.
A few things, and I know I could be a little long-winded. The first of all, NBC, is it? NBC?
Yes.
ABC.
They should have, in my opinion, they never should have brought Roseanne Barr's show back in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
They knew who they was dealing with when she first came on board, I mean, from, you know, her history. And it was some talks in regards to whether or not they wanted to do it. It took them a while because of who she was, and this break that she has had throughout this time, her being in a friendship with Donald Trump and speaking on his behalf when he was running and stuff like that, I don't feel, and I, God forgive me for feeling this way, but yeah, people did lose their job, but they knew that was what they was dealing with in the first place. They'll get work elsewhere, or NBC should find them another show to work on. The other thing is Roseanne Barr's ex-husband, Tom Arnold, spoke of her having mental health problems. She has mental health problems.
Yep.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. Michelle, there's some background noise here. Hold on 1 second. Let me try to figure it out.
Hi, can you hear me? Am I loud and clear?
There you go. Yep.
Okay.
So,
can
you hear me?
I just wanted to say that you're absolutely right about the mental health, because we have seen that throughout the years. We definitely know that she has mental health issues.
Yeah, she has problems. She has mental health problems. The fact that she's a celebrity, a lot of these celebrities do. This time, Donald Trump being in office, the racism has always been there. We as black people have always felt it. It is now, the problem now is other people can see what we've been saying all along. We've been being mistreated and getting pulled over and stuff like that. A black man getting incarcerated and getting shot, young kids. All of that has been happening.
Mm-hmm.
Now other nationalities, two dudes sitting up in Starbucks and getting asked to leave the restaurant, that stuff has been happening. Now white people and other nationalities is saying, oh, snap, black people really are getting mistreated.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying? So Donald Trump has brought, if he hasn't done nothing else, he has brought this whole tone of racism to the forefront as the leader of the United States. The problem is not us talking about having a problem with ourselves here in the United States. The main problem, the big issue is here, is because of what he has brought to the table. We have other countries having a problem with us. That's a big problem. our allies are starting to fall back. They're not really wanting to have our back like they used to have, and stuff, so on and so forth. You know, sitting up here changing the tariffs and doing all this stuff, and you know, all that stuff has been in play for years. That nobody's really wanted to have the United States back and be our allies like that. Over in Great Britain, they talking, he wasn't even invited to the wedding of the prince and Meghan, you know, that kind of thing. And then he spoke on that. So my point I'm trying to make is this is something, Pastor, that has been here. It has been, we have been feeling it all along. And now it's a big issue. It's a big deal that white people or other nationalities can see what we've been saying all along, what we've been marching for in the streets, what we've been protesting about and reaping the consequences behind that for years. Roseanne Barr doesn't surprise me. What surprised me the most? Not what she said, but the fact that NBC brought her show back. Out of all the shows to bring back, you're going to bring back Roseanne Barr? Roseanne Barr. See, they know that Roseanne, only because Donald Trump didn't bring Roseanne Barr back when Obama was in office. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, she had all these big ratings, because supposedly, you let Donald Trump tell it, like Tom Arnold said, he talked about her and told Tom Arnold he was more of Tom Arnold's friend than hers, and said that when he married his other wife, I see you married up. Donald Trump talked bad about Roseanne Barr.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so for me, it's always been there. Us as African American, other nationalities, you know, they, you know, little incidents that you wouldn't hear about because it's happening in the other part of the country and all that. Now it's on main media. Now we hear about it more. But we have always had this problem.
Amen.
We always have this problem. And Roseanne Barr, they're talking about, guess what? Sometimes, especially as comedians, just people celebrities, and people, they do stupid stuff to continue to be relevant.
That's
so
right.
She's getting a show on somebody else with Bart Bright, and they're racist. And Pete, the NRA, they got their hands in some different networks. They're giving her own show over there. And all them racist people is about to, all the racist people is about to follow her right on over there.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not surprised. I don't feel sorry for her. I don't feel sorry for the people that lost their jobs. NBC is a big network. Wasn't Bill Cosby trying to buy NBC? They weren't.
No,
they wasn't,
ABC. ABC. Walt Disney.
Okay.
Yeah.
It wasn't this big issue about. We didn't hear a lot about Bill Cosby when he was trying to buy ABC. So I'm not the lady that's sitting there, she was talking about, that's sitting up minding her business and didn't happen to turn on the TV and find out that Roseanne Barr is calling her ape or calling her a monkey. They been calling us apes and monkeys.
Amen.
That ain't nothing new for me. It's just all of a sudden it's Roseanne Barr. Why hasn't anybody said anything about Twitter and they're allowing people to get on Twitter and say stuff about that? But Facebook, you can't do certain things and you can't do certain, you know, do this and that. But it's okay to get up. Why haven't they stopped Donald Trump on Twitter from doing the things that they're doing? See, you have to look at the whole picture. And I don't feel sorry. God forgive me. I don't feel sorry for none of them that lost their job. And I definitely don't feel sorry for Roseanne Barr.
Here's the other aspect to it. When we say we feel sorry for them, there were some people up in there, black, white, blue, green, who, you know, don't share the same sentiments that Roseanne share, and they lost their jobs, they can't feed their families and all of that simply because of something stupid.
Okay, I can hear you. I understand that. We feel
sorry
but
for them.
If you know the history of Roseanne Barr, you should have went in and filled in your application like, oh, Lord, I don't know how long we're going to be here, so we better save up our coins. What you about to do? You understand what I'm saying? I'm telling what turn the show is going to take or how long we're going to be here. You know what I mean?
There's a history, though.
You don't know what Donald Trump's going to do. You used to have a job one day, the next day you don't. You know?
Yeah, but see, this is different. The Donald Trump thing, I'm with you 100%. If you are working in that White House, you are clearly working there so you can leave and do a book deal. There is no other excuse, or you're a down low lobbyist. But see, this Roseanne situation, we got to remember back in the day when Roseanne had her show, Walt Disney wasn't the boss. The person that hired Roseanne is a woman by the name of Shannon Dungey, a black woman who on her bio, she talks about the diversity and the diverse ideals she wanted to bring towards ABC Entertainment Division. And she did. She brought the Blackish. She made sure Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was represented for the comic book geeks like myself. She gave everybody a little bit of everything, and she wanted to do something different. She wanted to bring conservatives to the network, and she wanted to create a show that had a little bit of everything in it, everything from lesbians to conservative ideals to liberal ideas. They wanted to talk about everything. And now Roseanne, she has always been a piece of filth, in my opinion, but she was smart enough to stay quiet enough until the deal went through. The deal went through. She was quiet. You didn't hear anything about anything until she saw the ratings and until they approved her for another season. And the season hasn't even been halfway through yet, and they already gave it. The money is flowing. It's already made them $27 million or something like that. So they're like, okay, good, this is going good, so we're going to give you another season. That's when she said, okay, she got on her high horse. And then she saw Trump back her up. So the same person that fired, that brought you in, gave you the axe. But the only thing I kind of don't agree with, because there are people there that had nothing to do with the writing. We're talking about the food service people, the guys who work the grips, the guys who work the mic. These people, they go and apply for a job like anybody else, and they show up. And they get a contract saying, you're here as long as this show is here. So just think, you came across this money, you're going to your wife, you're telling your family, I got a job, I'm working on the Roseanne show. And then she just does this. That is heartbreaking.
Absolutely.
Because that can happen to anybody. Because someone said something on their personal time that was so offensive, it affected Walt Disney's bottom line. Now, Walt Disney, there's no way that they could allow her to stay. Think about it. Black Panther 2 will be out in about 2 years. Black Panther 3 will be out 2 years after that. Then you got Blackish. Then you got explain to me how the executives over at ABC is going to look Shonda Rhimes, who had 6 shows on that network that runs all year long. How are they going to explain that to her? So they had no choice. They had to pull the trigger on that. You know, and the whole Michelle Obama thing, she's trying to tie in Michelle Obama, because Michelle Obama's first year when Barack was in office, they couldn't stop calling her an ape and a monkey. If you go and look up some of those, they were calling her all kinds of stuff. But the whole monkey thing started with Michelle Obama. That's why she's bringing it up. So, you know, and it's just sad, man. It's a messed up situation all the way around.
Amen. And like I said earlier, you know, the biggest thing of it is that God is not pleased with this. And God is be uncomfortable and to have this hatred fueling his world. And God, what people may think, creation, God created, God owned it, and it's God's world, regardless to what may be born, the sin, hatred, whatever. I want to kind of shift the gears for a minute, and let's talk about the racial injustice that's been going on with our children and our young people that are being killed in the streets. If anything else that should make us band together as a community and as a people of Christendom, if you believe in Christ as Lord and Savior, and if you don't, you should have a moral or ethical code about yourself, and you know that it's not right. And if you see the right side, that's the side that you ought to align with. And I just wanted your opinion on that. What did you know? How do you guys feel about this? You know, for me, it makes me sick to my stomach. It makes me, you know, sick when we see things that happen injustice, such as we spoke about Starbucks. And the first thing that I always hear, and I hear, but what if we get together, stop spending the black money, the black dollar, on at these businesses that cause, that promotes racial injustice and division amongst the black people? What happened? Your thoughts, anybody?
Pastor, your phone broke up a little bit. Could you repeat the question one more time?
What would happen if we as a community of people stop spending our dollar in places that cause or that promotes racial injustice and division? If we band together instead of trying to be separate and survive, but if we band together as a group of people, what do you think that we could do as a community?
We would get things done. We could get things done. Tell me why the NFL is acting the way they acting. How come the NBA haven't said nothing? How come when the NFL players are down on their knees, the NBA players are down? All of the, if black people got together, this world would be a whole, and stuck together, it would be a different conversation, see, because pretty much to include tennis, golf, every sport that's out there, we always dominate. So if we want to strike or sit down or take a knee in all the sports, okay, then that would be we wouldn't be having these problems. The NFL is standing up, making these rules on their own. Where is the NBA?
But the NBA is not affected by that.
Where is your boy LeBron James? Everybody talking about LeBron James this, but LeBron James that. I ain't seen him take no knee.
No, but LeBron didn't take a knee, but he came out and spoke. He was the main voice.
That's not enough. Everybody doing all that talking. You, as much weight as LeBron James holds, let him take a knee. The problem is black folks don't want to mess with their change.
Yeah, that's
true.
But the NBA doesn't have the Star Spangled Banner at the beginning of the game.
But the reason why we're doing it is because of the injustice that black people are receiving across the board.
I'm agreeing with you.
To answer the pastor's question, what happens if LeBron James take a knee? What's going to happen?
Okay, you got to understand something. The purpose of taking a knee is the brother said, I will not stand for the Star Spangled Banner while my people are dying in the streets. That's why they were taking a knee. There's no Star Spangled Banner in the NBA at the beginning of the game, so there's no need to take a knee. What you do is you come out during your press conference and you speak out on it. That's what LeBron did and a couple of other brothers in the NBA did. So the NBA has
enough.
Their own form.
That's not enough. The NBA, whatever their version is, we honor something. I haven't been to the NBA. We might not see it on TV, but I haven't been to a game in a while. But we also honor the United States, too. I can't remember. But regardless of that, moving away from that, what happens going forward? What happens if LeBron James takes a knee?
Well, I agree with you. If he does do some form of protest, whether it's taking a knee or whatever, it would send a bigger message. But here's the thing. To the pastor's point, you want to stop these devils, you hit them in the pocket. That's all they care about is money. They don't care about no knee. Look at all the people that took knees, and they don't even care.
Poor people strike. The poor people strike. The teachers out there striking, trying to keep their jobs. They out there, what else we got to lose? Everybody that's in the NBA and NFL is damn near millionaires. So what else do they got to lose? They got contracts and stuff. Why can't they strike?
I'm gonna give you a real quick example. If you want to stop an oppressive, a system of oppression, you have to hit them where it hurts.
where it hurts.
Case in point, look at Bank of America and Wells Fargo here in the city of Philadelphia. They've been caught multiple times redlining. Bank of America has been hit up and down the country for redlining. For those who don't know what that means not giving certain people of color the proper loans for houses, giving them either too high loans if you know that they really shouldn't get, where there's their white counterparts who are making the same or even less than the black and brown people, they're giving them high interest rates. So those two companies were known to do it. There were white people coming in from Jersey, buying up black houses, scaring the older people, and the city tried to protect them. You can't keep up with your taxes, so guess what? We're going to put your properties under a land bank, and you can pay us whatever you can afford. Well, lo and behold, the city controller and the Department of Treasury of Philadelphia supposed to cover that. They took all those people, and all those houses ended up on the sheriff's cell. Now, what happened? A LLC popped up on a website with every one of those addresses, 25 homes throughout the city of Philadelphia. How on earth did they magically pop up for sheriff's cell? So the first thing the city did is figure out what banks they go to. And guess who was it? Bank of America and Wells Fargo. So City Council President Daryl Crutch said, okay, I legally can't do anything to you. So he contacted the two banks and let them know that the city will be pulling its monies out of those two banks, and they're going to go with their competitors. So mysteriously, hundreds and thousands of dollars are come popping up out of nowhere, sending black kids to school. See, it's sad that you got to go through that, but this is what we're dealing with. We're dealing with banks who screw you over. We're dealing with a school system who are screwing our kids over. We have the FOP president. That's the labor guy for our police force, come out on national television and call Black Lives Matter people trash and garbage, and they're animals. That's what he said last year. Did we do anything about it? Did we stop and pull our money out of the police and fire department credit unions? No. We just said, oh, this messed up. We complained, but we didn't do anything. You want to do something, pull your money out of people who hate you. That's how you stop this stuff. And we need to do it collectively.
In regards to what I was saying about the NFL, Kaepernick, now they're trying to say he wouldn't have been playing no way and all that. Speaking about it, ain't that's all we do is a bunch of talking. I'm sitting up here trying to figure out, what can be done. They are not those that can do something. Those NBA players speaking about it is not enough. It's not.
Mm-hmm.
It's not. Mm-hmm. When they got a, especially LeBron James and a lot of the NBA players got a lot of endorsement. We don't want to lose our money. It's not just basketball. It's our money. Honey, black folks, we're not finna stand up. We're gonna take a knee. I don't see how the NFL, black people in general, all the sports that we're in, most of the people, regardless if you're racist or not, you watch sports and you have your favorite sports team. And 9 times out of 10, we on there running down the field, catching balls to appease you to get a paycheck. I don't see none of us taking a knee. And some of them. I don't know Kaepernick like that. That's how we do.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly why he's going to win this case. There is so much evidence to prove that when he came out and said, okay, there is a conspiracy to shut me up and a blackball me. And that's something that you're not allowed to do.
Yep.
And he's going to win. Let's talk about audio tapes and stuff.
How much longer do you think it's going to be? Because we want to make this about the NFL, but it's really not. How much longer do you think it's going to be before the NBA be having the same kind of issue?
I don't know. There's a part of me that say any day now, because of the way this world works, you can wake up tomorrow and all hell could be breaking loose. And then there's another part of me that says the NBA, they're a whole lot smarter than the NFL.
shit.
You know, those,
okay,
they're a whole lot
that.
Smarter than
Excuse
that.
Excuse me, Pastor, I'm sorry.
You know, the,
keep,
no, no.
Keep
when I say
that.
Smarter, when I'm saying smarter, I mean they are very crafty and they're good at hiding their crap a whole lot better than the NFL is. So this, they can stretch their stuff out a whole lot longer because they're like, okay, we're not going to be stupid enough to let everybody know how bad we hate black people, even though they're bringing us hundreds of billions of dollars a year.
What's his name over the Mavericks?
But, you know, also,
the owner
I,
of the Mavericks.
I think also that, you know, at the end of the day, we have to remember with the ability to remove our dollar from the situation, we also have to keep in mind that we have a Heavenly Father that we can rely on too. You know, at the end of the day, God has our struggle. God sees and knows everything that we go through. And my mama always come when you want it, but it's always the time. And I know that God is working something out in our favor. Anybody that calls on God, that knows God, that has dealt in this suffering, God's going to avenge us. God, if you read the Bible, the whole Bible, 65 books, are all of struggle. There's one book at the end with victory. At that point, we know that there is victory. We know that people who hate on black folks, who hate on white folks, who just hate, period, that they will never see the face of God. But those who endure, those who struggle and continue to show love, despite the fact of being hurt, being oppressed, being abused, being spat on, all of these different things, but yet we keep eyes on God, we will see our reward. So I know that we have a worldly responsibility, but let's not. We also have a spiritual responsibility. But we need to move. We need to put our minds move. I do agree that we need to start doing things a little different. Because if we do that and we add that spirituality to it, how much powerful can we be as a people? Brother Akim, do we have any? It has been so wonderful. I don't want to end it. Anybody who's Michelle,
your phone's breaking up a little bit.
Is this better?
Hello?
I was just getting ready to say that Brother Hakim, Sister Michelle, a show that comes on Wednesday. Hey, man, you guys like to plug your show?
Sure. Boss Lady?
Y'all are breaking up real bad. We have a show that airs on HubNet Wednesdays, what is it, 7 my time, 8 o'clock Central Standard Time, 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Okay, what's this week's title?
Well, we were going to be talking about dating in 2018, but in light of all that has happened, we're going to be pretty much addressing a similar topic to what we're talking about tonight. So we haven't named it, but that's the last instruction I saw you give out. So we'll probably be continuing this conversation.
Hey, man. Hey, brother, I was just informed that I have one of my good friends who's on hold. He's been waiting to give a word. One of the pastors that I know, one of his friends, he's become a friend of mine, and I'd just like to pipe him in.
Okay.
I don't know why you're breaking up, Pastor, but you're breaking up pretty bad.
I don't know what's going on with my phone today, but
you know me. Yeah, you know me. Sound crystal clear. I don't know what's going on today.
If he can press the number one, so I can know who we have a few people online, but you got to press the number one, so I know that you want to come on fresh with us.
Okay. Give
it. Just press the number one on your keypad if you want to speak live. We only have about 3 minutes in the show. Okay, here we go.
Hey, man, welcome to the Jubilee Affair.
Pastor Dante, thank you so much for having us, and what a wonderful show we've enjoyed this evening. And to the co-host, thank you so very much, and to all who have spoken this evening, you know. Number one, I want to talk about the National Basketball Association. There is, without question, a difference between basketball and football as regarding how they carry out business and player personnel. Now, in the NBA games, there is the national anthem every night, no matter what the arena is. Some do God Bless America, but most of them still sing the national anthem at before every basketball game. But the response is completely different. If I don't know if any of you had the privilege to see Steve Kerr, who is the coach for the Warriors. He gave a response a couple of weeks ago. Yeah, he gave a response a couple of weeks ago to the NFL's new policy concerning the national anthem. And I think that his response was relevant. I think his response was fair, but at the same time, it speaks very clearly of the differences between player personnel and the NBA and NFL. So it may be a little far-fetched for us to expect people like LeBron James and other NBA superstars to do what we saw Colin Kaepernick do, because, again, you're talking about a roster of 12 to 15 people versus a roster of 75 people. There's a little bit more anonymity with the roster of 75 people than with the roster of 12 people. And I think that control level is there, where NBA players run the risk of losing a whole lot more than what some of the NFL players ran the risk of losing. Not that I'm in disagreement that something needs to take place. I certainly believe that hatred in America has funded or fueled these different areas, and they should be addressed. And I do commend LeBron James for how he has done his part to not disrupt what contracts he has, or to disrupt the life he's trying to secure for his family, and yet at the same time identify with his people in the struggle that we have. For those of you who had an opportunity to see LeBron James before games, in every warm-up, about 90% of the time, he has on some type of T-shirt or some type of paraphernalia that gives sign that he's aware of the struggle that we experience as an African-American people, and that he's not disconnected from that whatsoever, and that he is still, I guess, down for the cause, if you will. But nonetheless, you know, I think that we need to be very careful how we suggest that people in the NBA respond like people in the NFL.
Amen. Amen.
And speaking of the NBA, we're getting ready to watch the finals right now, and there's going to be the national anthem on live television, and I would sincerely doubt that we would see any of those superstars take a knee, because, again, their consequences are much higher than those in the NFL because of contracts and what have you.
Well, I've been educated tonight, because I didn't even realize they were singing the national anthem in the NBA. That goes to show you how
told
much
you.
I know.
We're going to talk about it on my show on Wednesday, because
yeah.
I disagree, Amen. Pastor. I disagree. We can. Are you welcome
right,
to come into my show on Wednesday? And we can hash it out, talk about, I feel like if LeBron James, we're at the end of the pastor's show. So I'm gonna be real brief.
Yeah.
It's just him taking a knee. It says a mouthful. So we will discuss it on my show on Wednesday too. I invite you to call in and we can go back and forth on that.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Hey man. Well, I just want to say for Brother Hakim, Sister Michelle, Pastor Tolbert, and Deacon Marie, we thank you. We love you. I pray that something that was said today has opened up your ears and your minds, and more importantly, touched your soul. This has been the Jubilee Affair. I am Pastor D. Townsend. I love you. We are signing off.